Welcome to Tramlines, a podcast from Agri. I'm your host, Tony Smith, putting your questions to the experts. Today we're going to be talking with Nick Bumford, Farms Director for Guiting Manor Farms Limited, and Rob Willey, National Fertiliser Commercial Manager with Agri. Today we're going to explore and understand the benefit of liquid fertilisers in improving crop performance and the performance of the farm business. And can liquid fertilisers help us balance the needs of the crop with the needs of the environment? So Rob, maybe I can start by asking you that key question. Why liquid fertiliser?
Well, I suppose we can start off by saying, what is liquid fertiliser? And it's a stable, clear liquid manufactured using urea, ammonium nitrate, and in the NS grades, inclusion of ammonium sulfate. So it's very stable. It's ideal for on-farm storage and application.
And what are the overall benefits for the farmer and grower?
Well, in terms of the fertilizer, a good proportion of that nitrogen is in the ammonium form, which is really useful because that means it has a positive charge and it remains stable in the soil. So in terms of the product, the advantage is agronomically, it's a very strong proposition. In terms of other benefits for the system of liquid, there are many. And probably Nick's the one practically who's going to recognize those advantages as he sees it on his farm. But certainly one of the key ones, I think, would be the accuracy of application. That would be one of the key ones that many people who move from a solid to a liquid system would suggest is one of the best advantages of that.
Yeah, and Nick, let's come to you as the farmer that's using liquid fertilizer. First of all, can you tell us a bit about the crops that you're growing and got in the ground this season?
So we're growing oilseed rape, which is typically followed with a first wheat. We don't grow second wheats, and instead of second wheats, we elect to grow either winter or spring malting barley. And we also grow a catch crop for our sheep flock in between winter barley and spring barley, which is stubble turnip.
Yeah. And on which crops are you using liquid fertilizer?
All of them.
Right. Can you summarize, you know, what's the overall benefit for you as a farm business?
Well, we've been with liquid fertilisers for well over 30 years now, and we don't use solid nitrogen on any of our arable crops. We haven't a need to. We like the ease of the product in terms of how easy it is to handle, and apply with a very high level of accuracy.
So tell me, is that one of the key benefits of liquid fertilizer, that accuracy of placement in the crop?
It's easily proven in terms of if you look at a typical crop sprayer that's well maintained, as they have to be, the coefficient of variation on that is less than 2%. And if you look at a solid fertilizer spreader, even a well-maintained and calibrated one would be typically 5 to 7% accuracy. And that's before you start to interact with things like slope factor and wind and rainfall, which of course impacts heavily on solid fertilizer, but not on liquid.
Rob, from your perspective, is that what other growers are also focusing on as being one of the key benefits, this accuracy of placement?
Absolutely, and particularly accurate placement and application to the field margin. That's really, really important because obviously using a sprayer, you're going to be able to apply right to that field edge. And typically, an average, it's very difficult to talk about average farms, but an average farm may well have 10% of their farm might be headlands, and which is challenging to farm. And you're always going to have an impact in terms of yield when using solid fertilizer, which you won't get using liquid because of that accuracy of spread.
So that accuracy of placement right to that headland, is that just about yield or what are the other benefits?
Well, as a farmer that has an eye on what we call integrated conservation, so let's define what integrated means. If you have a large area of arable fields and you have a boundary structure, or you have woodland edge or water edge, most farmers have some or all of those, then essentially what you don't want to be doing is putting anything that would damage the biodiversity into any of those adjoining features. And with liquid fertilizer, you're on a vertical placement and there's no lateral shift, and hence there's no fertilizer entering the field margin or buffer zones or anything else that adjoins the field's edge. And those habitats, so wildlife habitats, and the crop helps to support those wildlife habitats, but they're so important to the biodiversity on any farm or given area of land.
Yeah, sure. So we've got those two benefits that you're both talking about, that accuracy of placement, which is helping you get improved performance in terms of yield right up to the field margin, but also that accuracy of placement helping to protect the environment and keeping that fertiliser exactly where you want it. And are there any other benefits that you've noticed, Nick, when using liquid fertilisers over the years?
Yes. So, well, the first obvious benefit is that with solid fertilizers, once you've opened a bag, you can't easily return it to the bag because it's in a hopper and it's just not easy to handle. With liquid, you never have any product that you have to get rid of, because you just pump it either back into the bowser or back into the tank. And the other thing is it doesn't sort of go off overnight or change. You can store it indefinitely in a tank, whereas solid fertilizers, once they're open, if they are subjected to either rainfall or high humidity, then they start to melt and you can end up with some challenging problems. And of course, the other one would be that the ease of, if you like, product intake. So you don't have to be on site when the tankers arrive. The tankers come in, they unlock the tanks, which are always kept secure for obvious reasons. They pump off into the tank and they give you, they leave a delivery note. So in terms of time efficiency, of course, you can meet the lorry, but you don't need to. You don't have any bags or anything to dispose of. That works really well.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's just stay with that practicalities of storage and delivery and equipment for a moment then. So Rob, tell us a bit about how does a farmer get that infrastructure set up to be able to use liquid fertiliser?
Yeah, so if a farmer decides that a liquid fertiliser system could be useful for them, first of all, you need to look at that storage infrastructure. And Agri do supply tanks for those farmer customers to be sited on their farms so that they can hold that product through the season. And it's very important that those tanks are sited appropriately so that there isn't any potential environmental impact. We're looking at aquifers and the correct position on the farm to make sure that's correct. The farmer would then need to put down a concrete base around which they would need to be bunding erected, and then the tanks are placed within that bunding to ensure that there is safety, both in terms of should there be any leak with the tank, that there is somewhere to hold that fertilizer, but also actually those bunds act as a bit of a safety net around that, because most damage to tanks comes from machinery in the farm yard. So it stops anything getting close to that tank to cause it damage. So once you've got the tank infrastructure there, obviously you'll need to buy that fertilizer. And that's an important part of the process, because you'll only have storage for a certain percentage of your usage. And the important thing is you'll buy some to be filled up into the autumn, and then you'll have a more just-in-time system for the product you require through the spring. So that's so important that your supplier is able to make those deliveries on time to make sure it doesn't hinder applications through the spring.
And Nick, what would you add?
And I like the fact that I don't need to have a forklift tied up unloading, and I don't need to be putting solid materials into my precious building space, which can be used for other things. So that's quite a big consideration from a delivery and storage perspective. It's what I would call seamless, really.
Request for a copy of our liquid product guide by emailing info@agri.co.uk. The guide covers the benefits of liquid fert, application info and product details. Just now, Nick, you were talking about how by using liquid fertilisers, you're not having to store granular fertiliser in your precious buildings. And I assume that means you're not also tying up valuable capital.
Correct. I mean, you may need, let's talk about the other end, which is the offtake. So you'll need a Honda pump or the equivalent of. You'll need a good sprayer, and I'll come back to sprayers in a second, and you'll probably need a bowser unless your tanks are very central and you're going to haul the fertilizer in the sprayer. But the ability to own, maintain and run a sprayer, if it's being used for liquid fertilizer as opposed to a solid fertilizer applicator on the back of a tractor, means that there is an opportunity for saving in terms of capital investment or justification for buying a better sprayer. And let's not lose sight of the importance of the modern crop sprayer, which is the biggest influencer and driver of crop yield, being able to apply accurately and timely of any product that the crop requires during the growing season. And if you're using liquid fertilizers as part of the system, you can actually justify a better sprayer, which benefits the whole system.
I think that's really important, Nick. And Tony, you mentioned about the catalyst for moving to a liquid system. And I think that's probably one of the biggest. When a farmer is considering changing his sprayer, there's a really good opportunity to consider looking for a sprayer that will be a dual function and be able to move to that liquid system.
So Rob, there are changes coming into force in terms of the way in which we use urea fertilizers. Tell us a bit about what those changes mean for the farmer and the application of these products.
Yeah, well, post the 31st of March 2024, there is a requirement to use an inhibitor in conjunction with liquid fertilizer as it contains urea. And that will be policed under the Red Tractor scheme. That's to limit losses through volatilization to the atmosphere as the weather warms up through the spring.
And from your point of view, Nick, in terms of practical farming, what does that mean for you?
It means more attention to detail. I mean, we've already been working with a product called LiquiSafe. There are others. And therefore, we had confidence that the product works. And we've been using it to reduce volatilization. And, I would say, why wouldn't you? Because if you're buying a nutrient to apply to your crop, you don't want it volatilizing. You want it to be available for your crop. Therefore, the legislation is now a driver, but before that, it was a choice. And last year, we used it commercially on all of our crops, and we had good results.
I think that's right, Nick. And I think one of the key bits is volatilization. There are other pathways where nitrogen is lost equally, and that's through nitrification and leaching. And one of the key periods of loss can be through leaching. So LiquiSafe as a product, its key differentiator is that it acts on those three pathways, and that makes it different from other products on the market. But the difference this year is that there is a requirement for use. Previously, it's been an agronomic tool, which a growing number of farmers are utilizing.
And adding it into the liquid is, you know, it's as simple as anything, really. So people shouldn't get hung up on the detail. They just actually need to decide, you know, which products they're running with and add the required amount to the tank.
And Rob, it's been in agri R&D trials for a period of time, as well as been used by farmers, as you said, for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's proven technology that we have trialled for at least 5 years, and we've seen consistent yield increase, and that's because it's keeping the nitrogen stable in an area of the soil where it can be utilised by the crop.
And Rob, for the grower who isn't using liquid fertilisers, where can they get that advice to find out whether it's going to suit their system, the setting up cost, the setting up infrastructure, all of those key questions? Where do they go?
Well, I would always say, talk to your local agri-agronomist. They will have other customers who are on liquid fertilizer systems, and they'll be able to advise as to whether that system would be appropriate in any given situation.
Sure. And Nick, from your perspective, I mean, you've got a lot of experience using liquid fertilizers. You know, what would you encourage other farmers to consider when thinking about this as a system and the benefits that we've already talked about?
Well, it's quite simple, really, is either buy or rent the tanks, get them installed professionally, and be aware of any nozzle or jet stream changes that you need to adapt to the sprayer. So you don't need anything special about the sprayer. You just need to change the nozzles, which all sprayer operators are aware of anyway, which is something they normally do. You'll have to buy some different type of nozzles for the fertilizer applications. Be aware of applying it in the right conditions, and also rinse the sprayer off at the end of the day. I mean, I've had all sorts of scaremongering over the years about liquid fertilizer damaging the sprayer. Not true, but a good operator will always quickly rinse his machine off at the end of the day. It takes minutes, and he needs water. The other one is scorching and damaging to the crops. I mean, that's on the whole, that's just down to the operator running in inappropriate conditions, and the ability to apply liquid fertilizer in a range of conditions is much more flexible than with solid fertilizers. We quite often go when it's raining and so on, as long as the field is dry enough to carry, where you wouldn't be applying fertilizers of solid nature, you can readily and comfortably apply in the rain or if it's a bit windier, which would affect the spread pattern of solid fertilizers, the liquid is a vertical placement system and is not distorted by winds unless they're above a certain level. So lots of benefits there to reap from liquid fertilizing.
And in terms of just bringing this podcast to a close, how would you summarize the overall benefit to the farm business, Nick?
Well, we benchmark our crop performance locally and regionally, and our crops are performing in the top quartile of what you would expect nationally. So that's a good position of strength. And you know, I work on the premise that maintaining yield or farming for optimum output, which yield is a large component of, is vitally important because it then dilutes all of the other costs.
And Rob, what would be your top tip for listeners to take away from today's podcast?
I'd certainly consider using an inhibitor prior to the 31st of March, and obviously afterwards is a requirement, to maximise and make best use of the applied fertiliser, for sure. And I think that's the key tip for this season.
Thank you, Nick and Rob, for sharing your valuable knowledge on the value of liquid fertilizer for the crop, the environment, and farm business. That's it for this podcast, but do tune in again as we meet the experts throughout the season, exploring the many immediate and longer-term questions for growers and farmers in the UK. If you have any questions that you'd like us to ask the experts, email info@agri.co.uk. See you next time.